Blog Talk Radio.
Show will not happen because unfortunately my side job, I do lawn care and stuff on the side, and I got stuff that's really packing up on me in the morning, so I won't be able to do the show. So I thought I would do a show tonight, and I thought I'd hit a good topic. I ran into this article on Facebook, I'll say maybe a couple of days ago, and it says, "Is your pastor polishing a turd?" It sounds funny and it sounds kind of weird. But it's actually talking about the truth. You know, is your pastor, are you so tied up in sin, but you're so busy trying to act like it's perfect being, and you're holding your sin in, and you're not letting Christ have it? Is he trying to put boundaries around you and giving you ideas to look so perfect that your sin is not let out? Not let out to Jesus. You're not asking him. You ain't giving it to him. You ain't spending no time with Jesus. You've got no relationship with Jesus. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about this oracle and see what really this thing's all about. What are we doing wrong? Are we living in grace? Are we living in the law? Are we still acting like the Jewish people? Are we still living like the Jewish people? They was, you know, back in Jesus' times, they actually walked around like they was perfect. They was better than everybody. You know, hey, I follow all these laws. You know, I've got all this money. I do not look at the wrong people. You know, the prostitutes, I will not turn a face towards them because I'm so perfect. You know, I do not do that. You know, I'm just walking this law. But inside their hearts, they was lusting after these people. They was hating people. I mean, this Satan was going rapid in their heart, but it was like building up in them. It was building up in them, and it wasn't nothing they can do. And then Jesus brought the law of love, just love, to walk in love. And that would actually deal all of it. But the thing about what Jesus did when he was walking around, and he was walking with Father's grace over him, he's walking in God's favor, and, you know, God was fully in him. He could look in these people's hearts and tell that they was walking a fake life, you know. And he knew that they need salvation. They need somebody to die for their sins, which really that's what the Ten Commandments did. It led us to Christ. It led us to Christ. And that's the way it is. And a lot of people are talking about, well, you know, Jesus died for some of these other laws and all this and that. And, you know, go back and that's why he died for our laws, not for the Ten Commandments. No, he didn't die for those. Then Jesus talked about the Ten Commandments. He talked about them. He didn't talk about no other laws. He didn't talk about, well, in Deuteronomy it says, you know, you got to, you know, do this and you got to do that. No, he did not say that. He said, you know, if you saw a lady, okay, and you lusted in your heart, in your mind, you didn't sleep with this lady, but you lusted. You already did that. You know, you saw a man murder somebody, but if you have hatred towards somebody in your own heart, you are just as to blame as the guy that's murdered somebody. That's how demonic, no, not demonic, but I'm just saying it's so dramatic, that's what I'm trying to say, dramatic this was. This is how strong this law was. It actually told you what you were doing wrong. You had no relationship with God, it told you. But we're going to go ahead and get into this this little ad here. It says, is your pastor polishing a turd? Have you ever heard that saying that you can't polish a turd? It's always made him laugh. Visual imagery of polishing a turd is just ridiculous, certainly disgusting. But we all know the circumstances in life where this saying is sadly all but true. The biggest one I can think of is the way many leaders run their churches, which you can see that. I've had a privilege to travel to several hundred churches over the last couple of years. What I've found is that many pastors are aware of the radical message of grace. They know that the New Testament teaches grace is God's only answer to sin. Yet they find themselves terrified and of actually putting all their eggs in that basket. Many find preaching true freedom can be a scary idea. Why? Why this could be a scary idea? Because there is another belief that when you preach living by grace alone, people will start sinning. Far too many people and pastors have tried grace and seen a few people sin quickly, slammed the door on the experiment. So when they would actually try and teach about grace, people say, well, that's all right. We'll go out here and party and do what we want. And that's why they slammed the door on it. People took it the wrong way there. A message of law, sprinkling a little bit of grace, produces much cleaner-looking church, in their opinion. But freedom doesn't cause people to sin. The law does. The law causes people to sin. And we're going to go ahead and jump in, We're going to jump in Romans 5, and verse 20. We're going to go there and see what this is saying. I'm going to go ahead and start in verse 18. This here is the Good News Bible, which it kind of makes it a little easier with words and keeps some of the these and all that out, so it kind of kicks it down to the right, to the full meaning where we can fully understand what it says. And Romans 5, verse 18, I'm starting above. So then, as one sin condemns all mankind in the same way that one righteous act sets all mankind free and gives them life. And just as all people were made sinners as a result of a disobedience of one man, which was Adam, in the same way they will all be put right with God in the result of the obedience of one man. Law was introduced in order to increase, this is weird, in order to increase wrongdoing, but where sin increases, God's grace increases much more. So then, just as sin ruled by means of death, so also God's grace rules by means of righteousness, leading us to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay? This is saying that the sin that Adam brought into the world, God wasn't really happy about that. He put all of his hard work in this guy, into Eve. He really worked hard on these people and trying to transform them into his perfect beings to be just like him, be sons of him, be daughters of him. He worked very hard to create these beings, and he was wanting them to reflect him. Then they got turned around to sin when the enemy, affected them and turned around to sin. He was, I guess he got kind of mad at them, and he loved them. He didn't want to destroy them, but he had to do something with them and show them what they was doing was wrong. He wanted to show them where his communication was with them was what they was created for. It's created to live a perfect life. So when their mind was created, infected with sin, and they saw everything wrong. That's when everything went backwards for them. And then Jesus, the only man that could fix it. That's why God set the law in, because he knew there was only one man, the new Adam, that could fix the whole mess. No man in his right mind, or he didn't have a right mind. Any man that in his right mind thought he could go by this law, because he couldn't. He was so ingrained in sin. He was so ingrained in sin, he could not do it. He didn't have a chance. He didn't have a chance to keep this law. He could try to act like it. I can't do that. But in his heart, it was a different ordeal. He didn't have the Holy Spirit in him trying to transform. He didn't have nothing. He just had the rotten seed of Adam working in him, the rotten DNA of Adam, and all the sin that came to him working in him. It was impossible for him to do it. Only one man was created, one son was created for him to do this, or for, mankind to do this, and it was Jesus Christ. He was the only one that could do it. See, Adam was a son of God. He fell. Jesus is a son of God that came with promise. It came with deliverance. He became our Savior. He was born to be our Savior. See, that's what he did. He walked that obedient trail. He took our sin and died on that cross for our problems. That's where this is going. So it's the result of obedience of one man. A law introduced in order to increase wrongdoing, but where sin increased, God's grace increased much more. So then just sin ruled by death, also God's grace rules by means of righteousness and leading us to eternal life through Jesus Christ. So with all the stuff, all the curses and all the stuff that he put on us, the more he put on us through Jesus Christ, the more he took off. the more grace he gave us, because he knows, boy, they're going to really need his grace because, man, they really messing up big time down there. So through Jesus Christ, he gave all this back and more. He gave us all this and more. And then I'm going to go ahead and read what it states in Romans 7:13. Okay. Romans 7:13 says the law makes us sinful beyond measure because, you know, when you're walking around in this state that, you know, you're actually, you know, I'm doing things tremendously bad, but you don't have the Spirit of God to help work this out, to help transform you, because love, when God puts that love in you, when you die, when you're baptized in that water and you die with Christ and you're born a new man, that's when you're fully transformed. Now, this is a person that's actually wanting to be transformed, that's actually given his heart to Jesus, okay? That's actually given his heart to Jesus. Now, none of this counts if you've never been baptized, you know, you never give yourself to Jesus. And Jesus says, he only comes if you mean it from your heart. If you're saying this and you don't really mean it, you're just going there because your mom and daddy tells you to go there and say, you know, you better be saved or, you know, all this is out. You know, all of our helping is out. You know, if you're going there because of that, it's not a done deal. If you're going there because you want deliverance, you want transformation, you want to be a new man, you want Christ to come and live within you, you want to become a new person, when you really want Jesus and you need him and you ask him to your heart, then it's a done deal. Your heart's got to be open. Then it's a done deal. That's what he means. Now, when your heart is open and it's a done deal, you're getting baptized and you're becoming a new man, a new woman in Christ. Then all this stuff counts for you. Then you start transforming. That's another problem. You know, a lot of people go through this and preachers know this, but they keep on pushing the law, which is pushing people back into the Jewish belief, getting their minds so concentrated on the Jewish belief. And I've actually had friends, you know, that's walked in the power of God before, and they would fall back into the old law thinking. They would forget about the grace. In all of this, they just go back into old law thinking. They start pointing fingers and this and that. And before they know it, the anointing that God put on starts slowing down. He don't take it away, but it slows down. It slows way down. And when they start figuring out, well, something ain't working right, I'm starting to blame these people here for sins, and I'm starting to do this, I'm starting to do that. You know, I'm blaming everybody for everything. And then your love just flows out. And then, you know, I guess Jesus is like, well, if you want to live by the law of the old commandments, you know, so be it. And so you start living that way and you start experiencing what they experienced. They had no power. They had nothing. All thing they had was a choice to go and buy a dove or a lamb to have it slaughtered for their sins. Which we had the greatest lamb slaughtered for us. So do you want a cheap, you know, I guess, 10-cent lamb, you know, slaughtered for your sins, or do you want the master who gave his life for you? It's up to you, whichever one you want to pick. And I'm sure, you know, they don't allow sacrificing lambs anymore, so if you ain't sacrificing a lamb and you're trying to live under the old law, you know, it might not turn out too good, but, you know, if you're still living underneath the old law and you're trying to live like these people did, you already gave yourself to Christ and you're living underneath this new law. You're already saved, man. I mean, you're already saved. But your life is going to be crazy. You're going to bring things on you that you really don't want. You're going to bring pressures on you that you really don't want, because he's going to let you experience that. He's going to let you experience all this stuff that you're trying to trying to fall into. And what that's actually doing is doing the same thing to you as it did the Jewish, the Israelites, to let them know what they lost. They lost the grace of God. They lost the favor of God. And it's to bring them back to Jesus, which you already have. You've been brought back to Jesus. Why do you need to be showed this? You know, you just need to enjoy the grace that was given to you. Now, as we all know, we've got to renew our minds in the Word. The Word says that. We've got to renew our minds. Spirit man's changed, but our minds ain't. And the law helps, not the law, but the Word helps renew our minds. And a lot of people says, they're off-scene Christians, they're sinning and they're going to the bars after church and they're doing this and doing that. Might be the ones that the preachers is preaching them about the law all the time. You're going to hell, you're doing this, and you're doing that, and you're doing it. And they're learning that. It's processing their mind. And what does a human do when you tell them not to do it? What does a little kid do when you tell them not to do it? Some may be obedient, some may not. The ones that may not may do tremendous things. It's just like a teenager. You tell them not to do this and not to do that. Before you've got rebellion on your hands, and they're going to do everything triple times worse than what you told them not to do. So they're going to sin even more. They're going to do even more wrong things towards you than what you asked. And that's what you get out of that. But Jesus came along and introduced love. Now, you've got to be transformed in love. Now, love is his law. Love is his law. Love thy neighbor as thyself. This love. The disciple even asked him in the Bible, what can we do? What can we do to shorten these laws down? He said, it's even before he died. He said, love. Love will answer all these laws. So if you love your neighbor as yourself, you love your wife, you love your children, you love your neighbor's husband, you just care for him and you wouldn't want to mess with his wife because you love him too much. He's a brother to you. Fall in love with people, not in the wrong way, not in the demonic way, but in God's way. You love them as your brother and sister. You have no problem with the law. When you become like Christ, when God gives you a mind of Christ, you no longer need that. But really what this whole thing is talking about, when we're pressing ourselves into the law, we're showing all of our sins to ourselves, we're feeling so guilty for it, and we're not giving this to Jesus. We're not giving this to Jesus. We're not letting it out to Jesus. When your minister is sitting there pointing to you in your face, hey, you're doing this wrong. You're doing that wrong. At times that might help you a little bit. But more you push it into him, the more it's going to make that squirm in this guy's heart. And the more he thinks about it, it may change him. And it may make him worse. He might say, well, that old preacher don't know what he's talking about. I'm going to go and, this and that. But when you hear the law of God, when you hear the law of God, it kind of shakes you, pulls you to know that you need a Savior. Where you'll know that you need a Savior. I'm going to go into, Galatians 2:19. Okay, I'm going to go ahead in Galatians 2:18. It says, if I start to rebuild the system of the law that I tore down, then I show myself to be someone who breaks the law. So far as the law is concerned, however, I am dead and killed by the law itself in order that I might live for God. I have been put to death with Christ on his cross so that it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. This life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. I refuse to reject his grace of God. Person is put right with God through the law, it means that Christ died for nothing. You foolish Galatians. Here he's talking to the Galatians here. Here's talking to the Galatians. He says, you foolish Galatians, who put a spell on you before your very eyes, you had a clear description of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Tell me this one thing. Did you receive God's Spirit by doing what the law requires is by hearing the gospel and believing it? How can you be so foolish? You began by God's Spirit. Do you now want to finish by your own power? Did all your experience mean nothing at all? Surely it meant something. Does God give you the Spirit and work miracles among you because you do what the law requires or because you hear the gospel and believe it? Consider the experience of Abraham. As the scriptures say, he believes God, and because of his faith, God accepted him as righteous. You should realize then that the real descendants of Abraham are the people who have faith. The scriptures predict that God would put the Gentiles right with himself through faith. And so the scriptures announce the good news to Abraham. Through you, God will bless all mankind. Abraham believed and was blessed. So all who believe and blessed as he was. Those who depend on obeying the law live under a curse. For the scripture says, whoever does not always obey everything that is written in the book of the law, it's under God's curse. Now, it is clear that no one is put right with God by the means of the law, because the scriptures say only the person who is put right with God through faith shall live. But the law has nothing to do with his faith. Instead, as the scriptures say, whoever does anything the law requires will live. But by becoming a curse for us, Christ has redeemed us from the curse that the law brings. For the scriptures say, anyone who is hanged on a tree is under God's curse. God did this in order that the blessing which God promised to Abraham might be given to the Gentiles by means of Christ Jesus. So through the faith, we might receive the Spirit promised by God. That tells you right there. Paul really was talking there, and he was talking about this stuff, and he's saying exactly right there what it's all about there. You know, by faith is what you're living. You're believing by faith. So are you really believing that God really sent his son to die for you? Do you really believe that? I mean, have you really accepted God or God's son as your Lord and Savior? Have you really believed that? Did you feel him come into your heart? Do you think you really deserved anything? Do you think you can do all this perfect stuff? It's impossible for you to do this perfect stuff. It's impossible for you to fall in all these things. Because Adam put this curse on you. It came through him, through his genes, his DNA. It came through your descendants. You cannot be perfect. You're going to fail. Jesus even said that. He was like, you know, if you thought about that sin, you've already flunked the whole test. It's kind of like if you take a test at school and, you know, if you miss one question, it's all done with, okay? And, you know, you miss that one big question and the test is no longer valid. the Ten Commandments, if you fail one, you fail them all, correct? So do you think you could actually pass any of them, even though if you think you can try to walk this perfect law, but it's your heart that's not being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, really, really gonna do all these 10 correctly? No, it's not. No, it's not. So no matter whether you try to follow the law, and you didn't accept Christ, you're going to fall under the law. Okay. If you're in Jesus Christ, you're living under the grace, you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you've been baptized, and you're walking under the law, you're going to lose. You're going to lose all your life, all your freedom that He gave you. You're going to lose your freedom. You're going to lose all your freedom. You're going to live a miserable life. So if your minister is polishing that, saying, well, you've got to do this right, and, you know, it's good to do things right. Don't get me wrong on that. But you cannot drag somebody into the ground with laws and let them forget about the grace that God gave them. Because when you're teaching somebody that they're a son of God through Jesus Christ, daughter of God through Jesus Christ, you keep on putting them up on the pedestal of what the blood of Jesus Christ did for them. You keep on doing that. Then you see a new man. You see a new woman. They're all renewed. And that renewing is what makes you a new person. His blood is what makes you a new person. But the renewing of the mind is what makes a new person too. Now, when you're reading the Word, it helps renew your mind. But if you're living under grace, you have freedom. You have freedom from all this stuff. God's already took that from you. And I've had a friend of mine that actually goes with this, and he does a lot with this the grace movement. He does a lot with this. And he had experience. Had this guy that had problems with drugs. And the guy got saved. He got saved, and he fully accepted Christ, and they told him that his spirit was renewed. And he told me he was free from the law. You know, you're free from the law. And he had talked to him for a couple of days, and he relapsed in his drugs. And he ended up in a rehab or something like that. And the guy's mom was calling him right and left and saying, can you go down and pray for him? Can you go to help him and help him and help him? But he knew that Jesus had this. He gave himself to him. Jesus had this. He could take care of this for him. He just had to accept the freedom. The guy didn't accept his freedom. He had, I guess, part of his mind stuck into the law or something. But anyway, after a while, he accepted the freedom on his own. I think the guy might have talked to him some or anyway. Anyway, it just kept on getting worse. But anyway, what happened was, is that after a while, he just didn't want to do drugs no more. He's like, I'm done with this. Quit drugs, off to rehab, ain't picked up a drug, you know, drug since then. But it wasn't him that did that. It was Jesus. It was the Holy Spirit in him that did that. This guy fully accepted the Lord, fully baptized, died in that water, and was raised again through Jesus' resurrection. He had that done, and he was really meaning this, and God did this for him. But when all hell broke loose, Jesus came through. He didn't need 20 preachers over praying for him and all this and that. Jesus renewed him. He renewed his mind, as he promised. He makes you new, makes you a new man. The process was a little slower for him because he had a lot of situations, but it did happen. He didn't let the guy die. He knew his problems. He renewed his mind. And when he was in that rehab and he renewed his mind, he became a new man that day. a renewed man in Jesus' grace. Not in a new way of knowing how many laws he broke and all this, he's such a sorry person, but renewed the renewing that Jesus did for him. He accepted that grace. He accepted that love. He believed Jesus, which he was, well, like it was saying here in the Word, it's saying you're saved by grace and by your belief in Christ, your trust in Christ. So what I'm saying is your minister polishing all these laws on you and then not telling you, you know, release this sin. Just give it to God, you know, give it to God and do better, you know, do better. And I really believe if a man has really accepted God with his heart and really, really been baptized with his heart too, he wanted to do this. You don't need that no more. God will renew you. He will transform your mind. He will transform you. I guarantee you, he will transform you. He will put you in situations where you will see yourself start being transformed because you're his now. The keys have been handed over to Jesus. The keys ain't yours anymore. You hand them over. You're like, hey, I can't do this no more. I've tried it. I've tried this life. I fell in sin. You know, this sin has destroyed my life. You know, Jesus, can you help me? And when you say, Jesus, can you help me, he shows up. He shows up. He's there for your transformation. He's there for your transformation. And when you give yourself to him and you're baptized in that water, you die with him, and then you're raised with him, which he's already done for you, everything that you've done is erased. It's gone. That's an amazing thing that Jesus Christ can do for you today. What I'm going to do, instead of talking about these preachers, polishing these turds, these people trying to make them look new and trying to let them feel like they're so great and not letting them know that, you know, you're doing bad things and you need to be scared of everything, I want you to accept God where he can take this from you. Everything that's in you, I want you to give this to him. Right now, I'm going to go ahead and go into a sinner's prayer. If anyone just never accepted Christ at all, if you really feel that you really need to accept Christ, just say this little prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you're God's Son. I accept you in my heart as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to take all my sins from me, all the ones that I've ever done. The ones I've did today and the ones that I've ever done and unknown sins I've done, I ask you to take these from me, Lord Jesus. I accept that you died on the cross for me and rose again for me on the third day. I accept that, Lord Jesus. I ask you to come and live within my heart. I ask you to come and live within my heart. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If you just said that prayer, he just came running to your heart. And I guarantee you will start feeling a difference. And I do ask you to find a nearby church and get baptized, join into a church. But all the ones that's already Christians right now, I want you to do this with me. You say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give all of my sins to you. I give you all the sins I've been holding in my heart here lately. I give them all to you, Lord Jesus. And all the unknown sins that I've done, I give all those to you too. And I want to thank you for what you just did. And I ask you now, Lord Jesus, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Just hold your hands out straight up, facing towards heaven. Just palms straight up. Say, Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit now, Lord Jesus. Fill me with your Holy Spirit now, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill each and every one that's listening to this broadcast. Fill them now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, just slam them full of your heat, your transformation, full now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, fill them full, fill them full, fill them full. Fill them up from the soles of their feet to the top of their head. Just fill them up now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, fill them up. In Jesus' name, fill them up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for filling them up. If you just said that prayer, I'm pretty sure that you felt something. I've did this prayer. It's kind of new doing this type of prayer, but I did other prayers and people who got blasted by the Holy Spirit. And the releasing, see, the thing about Jesus is that I've learned over a period of time is that what we do is we need to release these things. Jesus already paid for all these sins. The only thing you're going to do is hand it up to him here and gets rid of it. He's already paid the price for it. He just wants to take it from you. He wants you to release it. See, your salvation has already been paid for. Your salvation has already been paid for. If your salvation wasn't paid for, he had to die for you daily. He would have to be down on the cross for eternity. But he paid for that one time for everybody. Every sin that was on the earth was put on him at that time, and he took it to the depths of hell, stood and faced Satan, and put him in chains in the depths of hell. And as was promised on Revelations, on that day, Satan will be released on the end day, the end of this world, not the end of the world, but the end of this world, as we know it. I feel that it's the end of earth. It ain't the end of earth. It's the end of this world as we see it will change. And then all hell breaks loose. Took your sins down there. And he said, you hold my people no more. He cut a lot of people loose from other dimensions. What I've heard, he went and cut a lot of them loose and took them to heaven with him. Then he came back to earth and then ascended to his Father. But he did a lot for you 3 days. He did a lot for you during them 3 days. He just wants you to accept him. He wants you to accept what he did for you. Instead of worrying and not sleeping at night because of things, just give it to him. He's waiting to take it. He's already paid for it. He's already paid for it a long time ago. He paid for you. He paid for everybody. He just wants you to accept him. He wants you to get baptized and die with him where he can take it all from you. What is it to get a little wet in a pool or something? It ain't nothing to that. You give his heart to him. You get baptized. And you're fully a cleansed person. And that, you know, there's going to be a few people, well, I didn't feel cleansed. Because you didn't mean it. By faith, bud. By faith. You have no faith. You know, it might be time for you to get faith. And what's so awesome is when you go, you grab that faith. And a lot of times, I'm not a big, you know, well, I'm guessing that this will happen. I know it will happen. God has worked in my life for many a time that I know that it happened. What happens is the enemy messes with your knowing. He tries to eliminate your knowing. What you know about something, he tries to make it wrong. What he does, he tries to get you to doubt your salvation. Did he really die for you? Are you sure? Are you really sure that he died for you? Are you really sure that everything you're doing is wrong? I mean, are you really sure everything you're doing is right? Why do you think you're saved from that? There's this, and there's this chapter here, and there's that chapter there. That is all wrong. He's just trying to get you to doubt your salvation again. Are you doubting your salvation? Because if you are, it's just another game that Satan's been playing for the last hundred thousand years or hundred, you know, whatever. However old the earth is, I'm not sure, but however old the earth is how long you've been doing it. You've got pretty good at it. You can use your pastor. You can use your wife, your husband. He can use anybody, your best friend even, to help you doubt your salvation. He can even use your television and your radio station. He has his fingers in everything because, as we know, he resides, his angels reside down here, and he kind of a ruler down below telling him what to do, and they're all manipulating you and having a good time at it. And it depends on if you allow them to do that to you. Are you going to accept Christ's grace, the grace that he gave you? Or are you just going to doubt it? It's up to you. Whatever you want. You want the free salvation. You want to live that life of free salvation, that when you mess up, you ask God to take this from you. And if you're asking to take it from you and you know you're going to do it again, that's not really, you ain't really walking in love. You're kind of like walking in manipulation. That's not love, really. So if you're doing it over and over again, you ain't really meaning it. And that's not in the law of what Jesus gave you. He gave you to walk in the law of love. That's one law that he said for you to keep is the law of love. That's loving everybody. So he says, if you love me, you obey me, right? If you love me, you obey me. So if you love him, you'll go by his law of love. If you don't, you don't. Simple as that. He did die for your salvation. You accepted him. You should love him. I mean, if I accept anybody, I care about the person, you know. I mean, when you married your wife or your husband, you love them at that point, and I hope you still do, you know. And if you don't, you're not walking in Jesus' love, because by love, he promised this person that you'd be with them for eternity, right? And you ain't really walking in love if you kind of change your mind over a couple of years. That ain't really love. That's more of a situational thing. It's more about you than them. But, it's different. I'm going to say this is different if you're being mistreated or something, the guys really, or whatever. But, the law of love is to love them. Show them what they're doing is wrong, but love them. Change them because you love them. Don't hurt them, but change them because you love them. Change them for the better. Try to show them what they're doing is wrong. By love, sometimes tough love. There's tough love, too. But this polishing your turd, which is kind of funny, and, if your minister is not really teaching you about love and about how God forgives you, he forgives you no matter what. And I'm going to tell you one thing. This is another thing here I'm going to tell you. I'm stopping the door in here. I'm getting kind of into this, and one thing that I really had a problem with was this. I had a problem with this grace message. And Jesus himself had to work with me because I was taught in the law and a lot of stuff too, and it's been kind of digging in me forever. And it really turned me away from the regular Christian everyday church. Now, I went to a spiritual church, and a Christian spiritual church, so it was more different than what the regular Christian church was. But I got pulled back into the regular church, and that's what I do now. But I never did really know the real truth, about Jesus. And his real truth is love, and he loved everybody as who they are. And the one thing that I learned about Jesus, he sees us of who we really are. Not as a sinful being, not as a terrible being, or the murderer, or the rapist, or what. He sees us as a perfect child of God. He don't see us as what we think we are. So, he loves us. He loves us. He wants you to see the same people, or see the people in the same eyes that he has. I just heard a lady talking at a little supernatural school I've been going to every Tuesday night. She was talking about you know, when she was doing healing, Jesus said, you know, look at this person when you're healing them as I see them. If you look at them as you see them, they won't get healed. But you're just putting on what their problem is, and it's just not helping anything. So you've got to be looking through my eyes to heal this person. So she knows this girl was had situations, but she saw her shopping and enjoying life and doing all the things that she couldn't do then. She loved this girl. The Lord told her to put this girl in her heart and pray for her, that she was going to be praying for this girl to bring new life into her. I thought this was pretty amazing speech I heard that night. This lady and her husband was talking. It was some amazing stuff. I got in there a little late, but I still heard what I needed to hear. And God's grace touched me that night, too, just listening to that. But it's like that. You know, you've got to look through his eyes to see that. His eyes is the only eyes that can see love. When you're transformed into like him, you can see as he sees you. That's why he can walk with prostitutes and all these people that lived on the street, because he didn't see them as the other people saw them. He saw them as love. He loved them. He even saw the Pharisees in love. He saw who they could be, but they couldn't see who they could be. They were so stuck in their laws and their religious doctrines that they couldn't even see God anymore. When they couldn't see their father anymore, he got angry. He got very angry how they manipulated his father's temples and stuff there. He was very angry about that. I think we should be angry ourselves how we take Jesus' grace and we ignore it. We just don't pay no attention to it. He did all this for us, and, you know, we're still throwing this love. Well, he didn't do nothing for us, really. He just died, and it just happened. And we're free people, though, but, you know, we still, you know, all this here, and we, you know, it's not a way to understand that, you know. Enjoy your freedom. Enjoy your love. And I'm not telling you to go here and sin like crazy. I'm not. By no means. But I'm saying when you're fully free and you meant that, you are free. And you will see a change. And I can tell you anybody that's been an alcoholic, that's been living in a life of sin, they get themselves to Christ, got baptized, they are new people. You'll see a change in these people. I saw this guy that's been drinking half his life, halfway destroyed his family with alcoholism. Change God. He really meant it. You don't have to worry about it. He reads the Word like every Christian should. I mean, if you're a Christian, you should read the Word. That's just being a Christian. If you're a Christian, you don't read the Word, you're not really a Christian. But that's part of Christianity there. You know, it helps transform your mind. That's what you should do. But, you know, you should live in His grace. Know that God gave you Jesus where you can live in His grace through His blood. So that's the main question. Are you living in fear and trying to live out all these Ten Commandments perfectly, but really you're a mess inside? And your preacher is telling you each Sunday that you're a mess, and you're trying to live up to all the promises that the preacher is telling you you need to live up to, but you can't. And then when you go to church, you put on your smile, you put on your nice clothes, you drink your Kool-Aid and eat your cheese, and you're happy, but you act happy, but underneath you're miserable. Your life is falling apart. Your husband don't love you no more. You think God don't even love you no more. Having problems at work, you don't know what to do.
your wife is finding things wrong with you, you don't know what the problem is. Your friends dislike you. And it just terrorizes you inside. Satan has turned all the tables on you. But you won't give to Jesus. You won't ask him for your help. Because you've got to live out this perfect love. You know, if I walk perfect, I do this perfect, everything is going to be perfect. And it's impossible. So are you doing this? Are you living this perfect life as you think you are? You ain't. Nobody can. That's why Jesus did it for you. Hand it to your Father. It's done. All his problems are done. Ask him to step into those problems and see what happens. So there's no more polishing. It's revealing to your Father what your problems is. He already knows your problems before you ask. He's just asking you to reveal them. And when you reveal them, cure them. Now, his answer might not always be yes. It may be you need to learn something from this. But I guarantee you that he will help that situation out. And he will change you through that when you hand over the keys to him. You've got to hand over these keys to Jesus. You've got to say, here is my life. You know, like a father does their teenage son. Flip the keys over to him. That's what you got to do to God. You got to flip your keys over to God and say, here, drive this vehicle. I can't do it anymore. And when you do that, your life changes. You live by grace. You live by the Spirit. It also says, when you live by the Spirit, can do no wrong. Are you living by the Spirit? Most people ain't. They're living by the law. And where is the law getting them? This is all I'm going to say about, you know, is your pastor polishing a turd, because just release. Don't build up sin. Release it to our Lord. And with the law, you couldn't pass it. It was impossible just to lead you to him. So go to him and let him save you. Let him renew you. And then live by the Spirit. And I want to thank everybody for listening to this broadcast. I want to thank everybody for listening to this broadcast tonight. I do ask everybody to go to the Healing Light page and just like the page. When you're listening to this broadcast, just press follow. You can follow us and let us know how many people are listening. And I hope this broadcast touched y'all in a way. It may make a few people mad, and maybe it didn't, you know. But I'm just trying to touch people with the grace of God. And there's a lot of people that don't have nothing to do with grace. They don't know where they are in the Lord. They don't know that they're free. So I'm just trying to indicate that you are free. If you really, really gave yourself to Christ and you've really been baptized, you are free. You are free. And he will fully remake you. He is remaking you now. So don't worry about that. And I'm not telling you to run out to the bars, but I'm telling you that he will change that in you. You give that to him. He has his arms fully open. You say, here, I got a problem. So the more people we have releasing their problems and their fears, the more freedom we have. In a church where they don't release their problems and their fears is a church of bondage. Created by Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, was a church to release their fears and their bondage. So that's the difference between the religious church and the church, the real church of Jesus Christ, is the ones that releases this stuff to our Lord. So that's the difference between the church, the church is trying to polish the turd, and the real church of Jesus Christ is the ones that releases their fears and their doubts to the Lord, where he can take them from them. That's the difference. So God bless y'all, and thank you for listening tonight. And we're going to be back Wednesday night at 8 p.m., and we should have Robert Hager. He'll be preaching the word to us.
and we'll be hearing a great message for him. God bless y'all, and we will see you, or I will see you Wednesday. Trying to hear